Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're just going to do a couple announcements this morning. And the first one is that we are starting today with 21 days of prayer, okay? Amen. So we're going to be praying today, and then we're going to carry that for the next 21 days. And what's going to happen is 6 o'clock every day, every evening, the church will be open for an hour. So if you want to come in and pray here at the church, I just wanted to encourage you to do that. And we'll be focused every night on something and praying and just believing God, okay? Amen. So that's how we want to start the year, which is very good. I also want to say that we are in need of some volunteers who will help us do some greeting. So Mr. and Mrs. Jamie Miller, see Jamie and Marie Miller and talk with them and get yourself involved with anybody who wants to help with that, and that will be a great blessing. Amen?
Amen. And then the first Saturday of February, we're going to have the women's group meet, and that's, again, prayer, or not prayer, eating,
Amen.
Both spiritually Praise and physically. God. So it's breakfast, and then it's a word. Miss Marie will bring the first word. And then I told her that we're just going to kind of start over. We're not going to assume that you want to teach again. So if you want to teach at these, please let her know, and she'll devise up another schedule that we'll go for this year. I encourage you that if you ever felt that you're supposed to be a teacher, to put your name down and say, I want to teach it.
Amen.
Listen, this is where you grow your giftings. This is where you help other women in Christ with the way you see things, right? There's something different about our different perspectives. The word doesn't change, Amen. Right? Amen? The word is what the word is. But there may be something that you get out of that scripture that I'm like, wow, I never seen that before. And it helps each other. Our testimonies help each other.
Amen.
You know, so we encourage all the women to come. And again, if you would like to be a person that brings forth the word for that day, just let Marie know. She'll put you on the schedule for that, and we'll let you know when your turn is coming. Amen?
Amen.
And then mark your calendar. Oh, I had it pulled up, and then I let it go. For February 16th, that's going to be our marriage conference here.
Yes.
We're going to have, amen, Pastor Nicole, Pastor Randy, amen, from our Botkins campus coming. We're going to have Pastor Rick and Pastor Lynn from Dayton, mm-hmm. Pastor Kylan and Margo from Urbana, and of course, we're going to be here. Amen?
Yeah, you're stuck with us, so amen. Praise God.
And we have a theme, I just can't remember it. Listen, I haven't been able to remember much, so y'all pray for my memory. Melissa, they called me on Thursday night. Now, I had just had something exploratory done, no big deal. And I was like sleeping, because I was out from the medicine, I was out from not sleeping the night before, and they're saying, hey, do you know about this birthday party? And I am, like, if I tell you I'm out there, if I was somebody, I'd have filmed me. I said, no, but I know Melissa. And I know if this is anybody's fault, it's mine, and I just don't remember. She asked. I know she did. So we're gonna take care of that, too. We're going to put up a calendar, and we're going to mark it, and we're going to have a calendar out there that shows what's going on in the church. So if you ever would like to use the church for a birthday party or something, baby shower, you know, we love those. Anything like that, then we'll be able to go and check and see if it's available. And then put your name down when mm-hmm. you're using it so that we don't double book or anything. So are we ready to worship the Lord this morning?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to worship Praise the Lord God. With us, just get on your feet, get ready, get happy. Because we got another year that he's given us to praise his name, to come into his presence, that no matter what the circumstances look like right now, that we know because we are standing here that he is faithful and that he has been faithful. Amen? And he will continue to be faithful. Amen?
Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Yes.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see
want to see him today.
I want to see him.
Tell him, hallelujah.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see him.
Yeah.
I want to see him. To see you high and lifted up, shining.
Yeah.
holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. In your presence, and Lord God, you are worthy. We just want you, Jesus. We want you and you alone, because you're worthy. You're worthy, you're is what God has already done, and the price that was already paid, and the promise that he already gave you, that the end is his win. He has already taken the victory. Amen. Woo! You need to celebrate your victory now before you ever see it come. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Yes, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name. The name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Yes, to every soul held captive by depression. Yes, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Yes,
yes.
Shout Jesus from the mountains,
Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, yes. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we just take this time to lift up your name over our community, Father God, over our nation, over our neighbors, over our family, yes, in Jesus' name, Lord, yes, God, that you would prevail in their life, yes, that your spirit would come unto them. Lord God, that the blinders would be removed and the deception of the enemy, yes, would come off of them in the name, yes, of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we believe that our family members are put in our life for a reason. Yes. That, Lord God, if we are the solitary, then we're the solitary and we're going to fight. Yes. Father God, but if we're generational people, then even more so are we going to fight, because we know your glory, we know your power, we know your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, they can't have our babies. They can't have our spouses. They can't have our sisters and our brothers. They can't have our mothers and our fathers. They can't have our grandbabies, Father. Father, we speak your name over all of them. And we speak freedom, yes, over every single one of them. And Lord God, until we see it come to pass on this earth, as the working of miracles is going, we will praise your name for them every single day. We will thank you that they know who you are and they call you by name. And they know that your name is written upon their hearts, Lord God, and your word. Amen. Father, we just lift you up and exalt you. You're worthy. You're worthy. No matter what is going on, you're worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way that I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. Pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Jesus. You're worthy.
gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you made is as good as done. Yes. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. Sing and break it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. That hospital bed, you are worthy. She could barely lift her head. You are worthy. And after all those tears were shed, you are worthy. Never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. When I'm blessing and in pain, you are worthy. Whether you say yes or no or wait, you are worthy.
Come on.
And through it all, I choose to say, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. And when I'm
mother sit in a hospital bed at her house and die of colon cancer. And you think I'm good, but you really don't know the effect that it has on you, because I went and got tested this week and I never knew what a relief it would be when I found out you're good. How the enemy plants praise, how he plants doubt and disbelief, how he plants fear that what happened to one is surely going to happen to me. But that's not who God is, and he's not the bloodline of your mother and your father. We get a change to his bloodline. He has no sickness, no disease. He is completely healed, and we are completely healed. I truly
praise
him. When it's good and when it's bad, you'll never know when I think it's bad. I'll never tell you. Because in my mind, he's good. And so that's all that matters. Amen. He's just worthy. He's just worthy. Even if I'd have got a different result, he's still worthy.
Yes, amen.
You're worthy of it all.
To tell you, I don't care what the enemy's trying to put in your head. I don't care what the enemy's trying to put on your body, that we have a faithful God. Amen. We have a faithful God. We prayed that our pastor would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, that we believe that he had so many more years to go. But you know what? God is still worthy. He is still worthy of it all. And I'm telling you what, if you tried to call pastor back right now, you might get slapped in the head. Because he ain't coming back for nobody or nothing right now. He's got to spend time with his Jesus, what he ran his entire course for. And he is with him. So whether we live or whether we die, whether so-and-so is by my life or so-and-so is by my side, it doesn't matter because Jesus is always going to be there. Amen? Some of us just need to be reminded. We know this. This isn't new stuff. We know this. Through it all, through the good and through the bad, he deserves the glory. Amen. Amen.
God, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, I can sit in my own moment with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
You do it, baby.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
I'm sure you guys don't get a little, like, antsy when he does this, but he always makes me antsy when he does this. He's preaching, and he goes, well, let's turn to. Then he stops talking.
Woo! Amen.
And then he forgets you exist.
Amen.
Because now he's trying to read his notes, and he can't read his writing. I'm like, is he ever going to get it, Lord? Holy Spirit, help him. Because it feels to me like it's an hour before he starts talking again.
Woo.
I'm like, Phil, that's dead air. That's dead air. Come on, baby. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Phil, God, I don't ever do this. Hardly ever. I think one time in my life I've ever done this. But I really feel like God's saying that. The victory's done.
Amen.
The battle's won.
Amen.
And what the enemy meant for your demise,
amen,
is turned around for your good.
Amen.
And that the words that have been spoken over you have not left, have not been taken away,
amen,
and have not lost their power.
Amen.
Because the words that have been spoken over you are by the Lord and by his name and his name alone.
Amen.
And what he gives, no man can take away.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome, isn't he? Powerful. He can do all things. Amen. And he desires to do them. I want you to know the Lord desires nothing more than to be in control for each and every one of us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's rest in him and let's find strength in him. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah, babies, children, young people. It's time for you guys. I said young. I said young. I could tell that when I said babies, boy, he wasn't too happy. I said young people, babies, young people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Teenagers, praise God. Those close to adulthood, hallelujah. You guys can all leave here and go to your classes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Hey, I'm just going to remind us that the Bible says, bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to know that the Lord wants to be the priority in your life. And not because he's puffed up on himself and needs you to be that. He wants to be that because it is the desire of his heart to bless you and to help you and be the provider of who you are. Amen? I'm telling you, God desires to do what he can for us. You know, the Bible says that when the Lord sees you blessed, it gives him pleasure. I want you to know that the reason the Lord wants you to open your life in every area of his promise, whether it's the covenant between a husband and a wife, whether it's your individual salvation, or whether it's the promise God gives when you enter into tithes and offering, in every promise, God wants you linked to him so he has the divine right to reach down from heaven and add his supernatural to your natural. He wants to bless everything that you are and who you are, and I'm telling you, that the Lord takes us through processes so he can see us continue to mature and grow in him. Amen? So this year, when it comes to giving or when it comes to providing mercy to people or it comes to being graceful towards others, I want you to make sure that in each area of God's promise, your heart is open. Now, right now, we're talking about tithing and offering, but I want you to know that this is a year where we need to tithe by faith, the humility to give grace in areas that maybe we have walls up. Open your heart to new relationships. Open your heart to taking the risk of giving your testimony. Open your heart of taking the risk of just trying something different than you have in the past. Amen? I'm telling you, let's open our hearts to the promises of God and give room for him to build on our future. Amen? You know, when we release our tithe and offering today, if we have grown in our faith to where we have confidence in our giving, then when you release that today, put some other area in your heart that you don't have confidence in and that you haven't grown in, and say, Lord, the way you've given me the confidence in tithing and offering, give me that same confidence in this area or this area or this area. Amen? I'm telling you, it's time for us to be refreshed in the Lord. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I know that your people are faithful, God. And they're not faithful because we make a request, God. They're faithful because they have determined in their heart that in this area, you are faithful, God. Father, I pray that as people release their tithes and offerings, God, that, Father, you just pour out into their lives everything that you desire, Father. For it's you that said you would open up the windows of heaven. It's you that said you'd bless what they bring and cause it to increase, Father. And Lord, I thank you that it's you who said you would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you just move in our hearts, Father. Let us be stirred in our faith. Let us grow in you and be blessed because your hand is on our life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this month especially, we're going to be focusing in on prayer. So we're going to take a look at some opportunities to pray in the Bible. And I want you to know that we're definitely going to be concentrating on how to grow our ability to pray and gain confidence in the area of prayer. So we're going to be looking at that, and I just want to start, first of all, by saying this. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, take no thought for tomorrow, because there's enough for us to deal with in today. And I really want to make sure that it's clear to you what that scripture really means, because when it says take no thought for tomorrow, it's not like we can't plan for our future. It's not like we can't plan for tomorrow. My goodness, the Lord plans for tomorrow. Thank God he did, because from the foundations of the earth, he already provided Jesus to step in when he needed to redeem us. So it's not that the Lord doesn't want you to think about tomorrow or make plans for tomorrow or plan your vacation like we're getting ready to go on. Woo! No, what he's saying is, when he says take no thought about tomorrow, he's saying don't enter in tomorrow with fear, anxiety, worry, and stress, and all these things that are bigger than who we are. Have a confidence that when you step into tomorrow, the daily provision of what God will give you to help you through tomorrow will be there for you. And when the Lord says, take no thought about tomorrow, he's telling you, hey, it's time for you to gain enough confidence in me that you can bring peace to your tomorrow, and actually, you should have good thoughts about your tomorrow. You should have a confidence that, hey, tomorrow, even if it's not a great day, even if something comes out that's not good, because there is a devil out there, we do have an enemy that's going to come against us, and I want you to know that not every day is going to look perfect for us, but what we should do is every night when we lay our head down, first of all, I hope you've lived a day, praise God, that you've pleased the Lord and that you know he's with you. But I also hope that when you lay down, you can be like me. When I lay down, listen, I ain't one that's going to be wrestling around taking hours to fall asleep. When I lay down, the sleep comes quickly. You know, it's so funny. I'll tell you a quick story because there was a guy that was going on a mission trip with me. And normally I have my own room because I want to pray and really seek God. But I had to share a room this time. And so somebody told this man, said, hey, you need to try to go to sleep before him because he does snore a little bit. And they said, and when he lays down to go to sleep, he goes to sleep quick. So it was funny because I didn't know they told him that. But it was funny because I was getting ready to go to bed, and I just saw him over there scurrying around, and I thought, what in the world is he doing? And it just dawned on me that he was trying to get to sleep before me. And I just looked over at him. I said, "Hey, Mike," I said, "my friend, you're too late." I said, "I'm already going to sleep." And I'm telling you, as soon as I lay down, boom, it only takes me a minute to go to sleep. But that's not because I don't have worries. It's not because I don't have things that I think about. It's just that when I lay down to go to sleep, I truly believe that I'm entering into the rest of the Lord, and everything I have about me is at peace. And I want you to know something. That doesn't mean I get to sleep all the time, all the way through. Because there's been times where the Lord has woken me up, stirred me, asked me to pray about something. Sometimes I've gotten up and prayed, and good things I did, because guess what? I receive a phone call related to something I'm praying about. And I'm just putting this out there to you because I want you to know that you can have a deep relationship with God. And if you don't already, I want to encourage you to go deeper. I want to encourage you to know that you can walk in a way with God that is deeper than where we are today. I want you to know that the Lord doesn't want us to stay where we began. He says that we begin to walk with him, but we should grow in him. And we should grow in our walk with the Lord. Amen? So we're going to pray towards the end of the service today. And today we're going to pray about our world leaders, and we're going to pray about peace for Israel. But before we get there, I want to just go through a couple moments of prayer in the Bible that I think really teach us some things. Because first of all, it does teach us in the Bible that we can pray about personal things. We can pray about things that are individual, that are personalized, that are to us specifically. Amen? And we're going to look at a time where a young lady in the Bible by the name of Hannah went to the Lord. And what we're going to find during this time is that Hannah was a married young lady, and she wanted to have babies, and she hadn't yet. And so she went to the Lord, and she was praying. And I'm just going to go through a little bit of what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read and go down to about verse 9, and it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drank. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And this is what I really want you to see. "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli," who's the priest over the temple at that time, "marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." So Eli thinks this poor girl is drunk, and here she is pouring her heart out to the Lord. "And Eli said unto her, How long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful heart spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, or a daughter that doesn't believe. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereunto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way." I want you to see something here. That what I really want to bring to light here is that Hannah, first of all, knew where to take her situations and where to take her struggles. Thank God that Hannah was going to the Lord. And Hannah, out of the purity of her heart, was not afraid to let God know both the grief, the sorrows, the disappointments, but also the request she was willing to make towards him. And what I think is interesting here is I love it because she is in the temple and there's a priest there that's looking at her. And even though he didn't approve of her praying method and he didn't approve of what she was doing, the truth is her humble heart and her open heart of integrity towards the Lord is good enough. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be an expert in some specialized way of praying. Amen? You don't have to do it perfect. All you have to do is have a clear, open heart towards God. Come to him with humility. Be honest. Have integrity. And release it unto him. I want you to know something, that what I really like about this is it shows you the power of how much God is connected with you. Because Hannah was praying, but only her lips were moving. She wasn't even speaking out vocally and verbally what was in her heart. She was praying under her breath. She is praying quietly, meekly over there, just her lips moving, praying out of her heart to God. And guess what? He heard her voice. Here she is on this earth, praying without even saying a verbal word, and God in heaven could hear what she was saying. This should encourage you to know that when the Bible says that God is with you, he's with you. You know, there's another time where a man was seeking God, and his name was Jacob, and he sought the Lord and had an experience with an angel, and he said, man, I've been to this place many times. I've been here before. But the thing is, I wasn't even aware of God's presence. What made him aware of God's presence was not that God wasn't there, because God had been there all the time. What made him aware of God's presence is he opened up his heart and he connected to the Lord. I want you to know something, that we should know that what God needs from us is connection. He needs interaction from us. The Lord does know what you need. He does know what's going on in your life. But whether he's invited in or not is up to you. It's just like this. Salvation is available to everyone. Well, why is everyone not saved? Because everyone doesn't humble themselves and reach toward the Lord and ask him to enter in, because he's saying, hey, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I want you to know that one time the Lord just showed me a vision of just going back and forth in front of this door and back and forth in front of this door. And I didn't see any, I didn't see a true description of him, but I know it was the Lord pacing back and forth in front of this door. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? And he says, oh, I'm just standing here waiting for you to open the door of your heart. I want you to know something. We need to open our heart towards the Lord. I can't think of a better illustration in the Bible than this one, other than Jesus himself, which we'll look at later this month, where he prayed in John chapter 17. But I can't think of a better illustration of how available God is to us than for us to look upon this tender-hearted young lady who's discouraged about having a child, and here she is opening her heart up to the Lord, and without one word ever being spoken verbally for someone to hear, he heard. Praise God. I want you to know something, that if we read the rest of this story, we would see that not only did the Lord hear her prayer, but he answered her prayer. And she brought forth a great little child of God named Samuel. And what was so interesting is after she had weaned Samuel, she took him back to this same priest who had confirmed her prayer. And he said, hey, I'm the lady that was here praying, and this is the child God gave me. And now I'm dedicating him to be a priest for the Lord and for him to serve the Lord all the days of his life, which he did. And what's so amazing is she went on to have 5 babies in total, amen, and had a beautiful family that God had given her, amen. So I just wanted to start there because we're going to then go to this scripture, which is very powerful, praise God. And we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to bring this personally to you. I want you to know something, that we're going to look at this in just a little bit, but I want you to know that when you read scripture, it's time for us to make sure that we're applying this scripture to us, because that's who it's written for. Hallelujah. Those who are saved and those who are the children of God, this word is written for you. So see yourself in these scriptures when we're speaking. Amen? And just like Hannah, you know what? The Lord says this, what I do for one, I'll do for all. So if the Lord could hear Hannah and her prayers, guess what? He can hear you. Amen? But it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I want you to know that that means that the word of God is alive. When it says that the word is quick and powerful, that means that the word is filled with life. Remember, another scripture says that the word of God is spirit and life. I want you to know that the word can ignite. And that's what it does. Amen? It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want you to know something, that when it says that we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, what I want that you to understand that means for you is that the Lord came not just to go to the cross, even though that was his ultimate purpose, was to go to the cross and be raised again. But the reason he came and walked amongst us was because he wanted to demonstrate a human's approach to God. He wanted to demonstrate to us as a person how we can have access to God the Father in heaven. Remember, one of the things he told his disciples is, hey, now that I've come and you've seen me, the thing that is most important to you is now you have the power to pray directly to the Father in my name. What I want you to know is that not only are we supposed to look at Christ going to the cross, but we should look at Christ how he lived his life. I want to remind you that even though the church isn't perfect today and it wasn't perfect in Jesus' time, he still said that it was his custom to go to the temple. In other words, if you wanted to know where Jesus was on Sunday morning, go to church and you'd find him. And here's what I want you to know. He shows us time and time again in his relationship with God how even though he was the Son of God walking on this earth in the power that God had put on him, it did not stop him from taking time to walk away from everybody and get quiet and pray directly to the Father. I want you to know something, that this scripture here is written for us not just to be aware of the fact that he understands our infirmities and our weaknesses, but it gives us an instruction of how we are supposed to approach the throne. It says, don't come scared, shaking. Now, don't be arrogant and puffed up either and full of pride. But it does say, come boldly before the throne of grace. What does that mean? Have an absolute confidence that because of the blood and the love of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you not only have a right to come to the throne, but God would love to see you come often to the throne. God wants to see your request. And when you're there, he wants you to have a confidence in his ability to bring to pass what we need and what we're asking for. Praise God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, when we think about the throne of grace, what does that mean? I want you to see it like this. It's the bridging of the gap that the blood of Jesus laid out. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament that the Lord was looking for one to stand in the gap. Unfortunately, in that scripture, it says he found none. But thank God that when we look at the scripture, we can understand that God was looking for one to stand in the gap. That's what Jesus has done. So when we think about coming boldly into that throne of grace, what I want you to realize is that you can come boldly into the threshold of the very presence of God because of the relationship Jesus has given to us with the Father. We are his children. Praise God. I want you to know something, that when my little grandson comes up to me, when JJ comes to Papa, guess what? He ain't bashful. He ain't backwards. He ain't scared. And he's confident. In fact, if I tell him, no, not right now, he looks at me like the world has come to an end. Because he'll go past Mom, past Dad, past Grandma. Ooh, don't tell her that. But he'll go even past Grandma and come and say, Papa, can I have some juice? Or whatever's on his little heart. But he comes boldly. And what I want you to know is that we should see ourselves coming to the Lord just like that, because we can come to God with a confidence. We can come to God with a boldness. And we can have a confidence that when I go to him and come into his grace, I'm going to have a confidence, not in just myself or anything great about me. I'm going to have a confidence in his love, his mercy, his kindness, and his desire to do good in my life, because he's the one that wrote in the word that he does not have one evil or bad thought towards me, only good thoughts. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. So even when Miss Regina doesn't want to spoil me, I can just look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you this because I really want to lay this out to you, that you can have God as a priority in your life. But I also want to lay this out to you because the next area we're going to look at is some responsibilities that the Lord gives us because we have relationship with him. I like to remind us that the Bible says that in the Lord we are new creatures in Christ. But with that comes the responsibility to be a reconciler. That means that along with our salvation and along with all the help the Lord will give us personally, I want you to know that the Lord, because of Jesus in your heart, has given you the power to help other people reconcile and get their relationship right with God. I want you to know that there's going to be times where the Lord expects you to stand in the gap and pray for other people. There's going to be times where the Lord expects you to stand in and offer a hand of kindness towards someone else. You know, I was excited today because I was thinking about this message that I was preaching, and I looked over and I received a hug from someone that's here this morning. And part of what brought them here was because they had went away for a season, but they ran into another person that's a part of our church. And in the store that they were in, they were thinking about the Lord and all that kind of stuff. But when the person that was their family member in the faith started talking to them in the store, they told me a while back that it was just that thing they needed to step in to the house of the Lord. I want you to know something, that sometimes we don't even understand that our interactions with people carry more with them than sometimes we even think. Your words mean more than you think they do. Your prayers mean more than you think your prayers mean. I want you to know that God uses what you give him to move on the behalf of other people all the time. So we're going to look here first at in the book of Acts, praise God, because we're getting our minds off of just ourselves onto some of the authorities that the Lord has given us. And it says in Acts chapter 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four whatever that is. I used to know how to pronounce it. But anyhow, four big groups of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But here's what it says. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And if you read through that, you'll find out that the angel of the Lord helped Peter leave the prison. And what's amazing is, as soon as Peter left the prison, he knew that people were praying for him, so he ran to the church. And I mean, he knocked on that door, and he was going to go in there and give his testimony. But when he knocked on the door, a lady saw him and went in and said, hey, it's Peter. And guess what they said? Woman, you're nuts. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's what's so interesting. The very church that had prayed for Peter when God answered them didn't believe they had the power to bring the results, because when Peter showed up, they thought, there's no way this is Peter. And they wouldn't even believe that their prayers were answerable. Praise God. I want you to know something, that we need to understand something. You can go back through history and you will find that every time there was a major war, every time there is a major conflict, every time there has been something major that has shifted or changed, you will find out that there was people praying to bring it to pass. You know what's interesting about our own nation that people don't know? Is that after it was discovered and after it became America and we won our independence, we would get ships come visiting to this land. And they said that when they came into the port, there was people praying upon the docks and the things where the ships would come in. And people from other nations would even declare that they could feel the presence of God when they came here. You know, there's an old saying that you might know in history where they tell a story of a man that says, give me liberty or give me death. You know what they don't tell about that story? Is if you do the research, you'll find out that that was a young man that was sent here to see what was going on. And he wrote back and said, my goodness, these people pray to their God. They have a way of living in freedom that I've never experienced before. He says, and I'm writing this to let you know that for me, I have come to the discovery that because of what they have with their God, I'm going to stand with them instead of stand with you. We don't tell that part of history, but I want you to know something. Even the great universities that might not be so great now in their philosophy and the things they teach, but the great universities that have been declared places of great education for years, like Harvard and Yale, if you went back and did their story, guess what you'd find out? They all required that people that went to school there also studied their faith and their relationship with the Lord as part of their graduation requirements. People don't know the history of how interwoven faith is with our nation and with the world. And that's why I'm telling you this, because I want you to understand something. The great things that have come to pass in the world have come through God's people of prayer and faith. And we're saying that because I want to get to this next scripture, because this is what we're going to concentrate on in the next few minutes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I bet you didn't ever know that, did you? That at Harvard and Yale, part of the requirement for you to get your diploma when those colleges first started was that you had to explore your faith in the Lord. In fact, they used to teach this. They used to teach you writing, arithmetic, and math, whatever they called it. What's it? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to say. They said those things will bring you no value unless you're first centered in your foundation of faith in the Lord. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, for some of you, I can tell I'm going to have to study this week and look some of this history up for you so you guys don't think I'm just making it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love it when I feel those thoughts out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But we're going to go right here to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to just verify some of the things that I just said to you, because it says right here in Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Woo! Boy, I get to settle in here for just a minute. First of all, I do believe that as Americans, we should understand our history. We should be patriotic. And we definitely need to make sure that the leaders and things that we get a right to vote for, that they have what we believe in our heart are our best interests for our nations and for us as individuals in hand. I do believe that. And I want you to know that I take no issue with people that make a stance for those beliefs. But one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to promote politics or anything above the Word of God. I'm not instructed in this Bible to fight for a particular leader. I am instructed in this Bible that for those people that are in authority and those people that have leadership roles, and not just in the big government, but also even within our community, we should be praying. You know, we went with other churches and we prayed over the schools and things like that. We prayed over the teachers and all those people who are going to interact with our children this year. But I want you to know something. One of the big things that the church has a responsibility to do that we sometimes miss is we have a responsibility to pray for leaders, to pray for the world, to pray for the will of God to come, to pray for His presence to be poured out. Do you know that the Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, just like the waters that cover the sea? You know, as a church, we should be praying that the Spirit of the Lord is poured out in this nation and around the world. We should be praying for those leaders over us. I want you to know something, that the prophets in the Bible, guess what? They went to the kings and held them accountable, whether they were kings that believed and followed God or they were kings that didn't. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to know something, that we as a people of God need to make sure that, yes, we care about our individual lives. And yes, we care about that stuff that we can impact. But I also want you to know that whether you believe it or not, your prayers can impact the outcome of greater things. Remember, Abraham went to the Lord and argued for a nation based on a handful of believers. And the Lord even said to him, God said to him, if there be this many believing people in that nation according to your request, I'll not touch it. You know, I want you to know something. When I worked in the manufacturing business, I'm telling you, I would tell people all the time, well, this place ain't closing as long as I'm here. And guess what? I didn't just say that to make them feel good. I said it because I believed it. I believe the Lord put me someplace for a purpose, and part of that purpose was to not just care for myself and my own paycheck, but I cared for those other families, and I cared for the provision that was coming into their house, saved or unsaved, because I also cared for those who were unsaved because I wanted to witness to them and have an opportunity to see their life changed. I'm tapping into this with you because I want you to know something. You have more authority and more power than you think you do. You can pray for others and see results. You can pray for others and see salvation come. You can pray for others and see good things happen in their life. And sometimes, I'm not being mean, I don't want to say this in a mean way, but sometimes our faith posts are much more important than our political posts. Woo, praise God. Woo. Amen. Let's stir it up a little bit, amen. Listen, it is time for us to remember that our first priority is God. Then all those other things can come after him. Amen? Hallelujah. So this morning, we're just going to end this time with just a few moments of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to pray. And listen, while I'm praying, you can pray also. You can pray for whoever you want to pray for while I'm praying. Amen? As far as leadership and things like that in the church, we did take up the offering, didn't we? Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, we have a prayer request. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Doug is asking for prayers because he has 6 members of his family that have tested positive for COVID. Whew. Thank goodness that thing doesn't have a hold on us like it was having. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I know Doug and these precious members of his family, Father, and his extended church family, Lord God. And Father, we put them before you right now, God, and we curse sickness and disease. We break its power, Father God. We ask you to clear up every symptom that they're fighting against, Father. Clear up every symptom that they're fighting with and bring them into wholeness and completion and healing. And Lord, we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Give them a testimony of your goodness and your healing, because by your stripes we're healed. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just put world leaders, Father God, and authorities before you right now, God. And Father, I pray, God, for your mercy and grace to be upon them, Father God, that you would touch them with godly wisdom. Father, that they would do things that are right, God. That, Father, they would make decisions that are truly for the people, Father God. Lord, that you would give them proper motive, God. Father, that you would change their heart in every area, God, to align with what you would have for every nation, including ours and those that are abroad. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put our sister nation, Israel, before you right now, Father. And Lord, we ask for your hand of grace and mercy to be upon them, Father God. Lord, we ask for your protection to be upon them and their people, Father, during this time of distress and war, Father God. We just ask your hand to be upon them, God, to keep them, to bring them through, Father God. Father, we thank you for strengthening. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, God, and your ability to rescue and deliver and to set free, Father. And Lord, for those who lose their life, Father, we pray for their families. We pray for those, God, that need salvation and need, God, to be rescued by you, Father. And Lord, I just thank you that your hand will be upon them. Father, I pray right now for this great nation that we get the privilege of being part of. Father, that you would keep us. Lord, that you'd bring your presence in a greater way, in a greater dimension upon us, Father God. Lord, that your will would be done here on earth, Father. Lord, that you would make a way, Father God, for every person to come into salvation, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that more people would be saved this year than ever before, Father. Lord, I pray that your word would not be diminished, but it would be elevated. Father, I pray that your word would be poured out, Father, and that your spirit would be poured out, Father, and that you would just fill the temple, Father. Lord, you'd fill the lives of people, God. Lord, that you'd bring your presence, your goodness, your saving grace, your mercy upon every heart, every soul, Father God. Lord, that you just pour out your goodness, Father. And Lord, as we come into this year, Father God, I pray your blessing and your hand of wisdom upon every person in leadership, Father God. Every person that has the responsibility for others, Father God, I pray your hand of grace and mercy upon them, God. And I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I want to thank you for being here this morning. And happy birthday back there. I won't make you stand up or dance or any of those things that was requested before service, but I will say happy birthday to you. And I just want to thank every person for being here today. And I thank you for your faith. Keep your heart towards God. Be who you are in Him. And I'm telling you, He will bring you through. Amen? God bless you. I'll be here to pray with anybody that needs prayer this morning. Amen.